Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. We've been making cheese in Wisconsin since before we were even a state, which may be one reason why we win so many awards for it. It's what happens when a whole state dreams in cheese. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
You're listening to Item 13, an African food podcast, and I'm your host, Yom Akuaku. Every week, we'll delve into the delicious world of African food, including chefs, curators, and bloggers. Here's the show.
My guest this week is Malika, who is originally from Benin, but is based in the Chicago area, who runs her food blog, The Black Gourmet. Welcome to the show, Malika.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to dig into a lot of food, West African food topics here. So why don't we kick off by you telling us a little bit about yourself? Who is Malika? Where are you from and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so like you said, my name is Malika. I am from Benin. I guess most people would say Benin, but I say Benin because that's kind of here how people can, you know, see what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in Benin. I grew up there. Spent about 20 years there before moving to the U.S. And when I came to the U.S. back in 2018, it was mostly to just come to school and then go back to Benin, right? But it ended up being that I got a job here, liked it, and stayed.
Mm-hmm. So like most of us, I feel like.
So I currently live in Chicago where I work as a computer, I should say a digital forensic investigator, which I'm not going to get too much into it, but it's basically computer, phone, and every electronic device that you can think of, basically conducting investigation with those devices and helping lawyers build their cases.
That sounds really cool, actually.
It is. I love it. It is awesome. It's never boring. I love it.
Okay.
So I have that I do for work. And then back in 2013, I started an Instagram page, which was called Food and Travel Post, mm-hmm. right? So that was in 2013. And the reason why I started it was mainly because at the time, I used to cook a lot and people always loved my food. You know, back in college, people always loved my food. And so I figured, you know what? I think I really love taking pictures of food too. Like even before this whole journey of blogging started, I was that person who would always take a pause, take a picture before I start digging in. So I would always take pictures of the food that I eat. And so I'm like, you know what? I think I need somewhere to park these pictures. So that's kind of how it started back in 2013. And at the time, I used to do that with a friend of mine, Farah. Shout out to Farah. if you ever listened to this. She is one of the best cooks ever. She actually went to culinary school, so she has a lot of these skills and techniques and really, really awesome cook. And so it made sense for us both to be posting on that page, which is what we did for a while. And then things happened. I ended up moving to Chicago right after school. She stayed behind to continue her school. And so we sort of parted ways. And then I got pregnant. And so it was not easy for me to sustain posting on Instagram anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I took a break and then came back as the Black Gourmet in 2020. So that is very high level, I guess, me.
Yeah. And,
I'm excited to dive deeper into it. High level, that's me.
That's you, high level. Like, that's so interesting. And it's the more I talk to people, the more maybe, and I don't know if it's not a bad thing. I feel like it's a connection in that I realize that I have so much in common with so many people in the food space, and that, you know, the journey of coming to America and figuring out something cool and interesting, like on your professional side, but then also realizing that white space, if you will, around like African food online and trying to contribute to it in your own way, right? And then also that feeling of, this is, I mean, you're 4 years in, I'm only six months in, but also that, and I mean, you can tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but that, and I can't believe like you took a four year break and you're back, which is great. It gives me hope, because I feel like when I had my baby, I was completely lost, and you probably know better than most. Like it's just, there's nothing else I think that you can focus on and do well, like,
for sure.
Especially those first few months. It's just, and so I remember one being like obviously extremely excited and happy about my baby, but then also feeling a sense of like frustration, loss, like, I don't know, around like the things that I had planned to do around the podcast and other food related things, like, you know, that I thought I blindly or foolishly thought that I could continue to do, you know, I committed to people. God. I was like, oh, you know, after 6 weeks, like give me 6 weeks and I'll be back. And, you know,
oh, and God, yes.
6 months later, I'm like just now coming back into the swing of things. And I mean, everybody has been so gracious, even with Heritage Radio, I was able to take the summer off completely and not have to record a show. But I completely relate in that, having to take a break, because you really just can't do it all.
You cannot, like, especially being a new mom, mm-hmm. right? I can
first
see
time
myself,
mom, yeah,
exactly, a first time mom. I can see myself not taking such long of a break with the next baby, which I hope is gonna be soon. But yeah, like, especially being a first time mom. Yeah. I mean, I needed the break.
Yeah.
And for me, I guess it was also that with work, I was traveling a lot. Like, I was traveling on Monday and coming back on Friday, sometimes on Saturday. So I really only had Sunday for me.
Yeah.
And then I was back on the road again. So even before getting pregnant, my presence on social media was not the same as mm-hmm. when I first started back in college, right? It was not the same. And so when I got pregnant in October of 2016, food, I swear, like, I couldn't smell the smell of food anymore. I hated it. I don't know how to explain it, but I did not want to hear anyone talk to me about food in the first trimester. Please, if you're going to talk to me about anything, do not mention food. Like, the only food that I was able to eat was egusi soup from this Nigerian restaurant, which is like right in my neighborhood here in Chicago. And also pho, which I live in Uptown, which is like the Vietnamese area of Chicago.
Oh, got it, yeah.
And so I loved eating, like, I don't know, would you say eating or drinking or
slurping.
So I swear, day in, day out, night in, out, that's all I was eating.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to eat for a good 3 months.
Wow.
And then the first trimester went by, and I started to like recover from hating food again, right? And so it made sense because I was already not posting as much. Mm-hmm. When I had a baby, I kind of just disappeared, like without even telling people, like, hey, I have a baby, I'm gone. I just stopped posting. But then I know a lot of people reached out to me and was like, where are you? Like, like, say something. And I didn't know, because at the time, like, when someone sends you a message, you have to almost accept the message before you see it. It's not like
notification.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they were just pending in my request of, like, you know, reading messages. And I didn't know until way, way later. And so I guess that's also one of the reasons why I decided, you know what, it's not going to be such a bad idea to go back and sort of pick up where I left off. So.
Cool.
Yeah, it took 4 years.
And I applaud you for coming back, because I think if I had waited that long, I don't know that I would have come back. I think I pushed myself even now to come back to do the podcast because I thought the longer I stay away, the less likely that, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, because it's something I'm passionate about. So maybe I would always have come back to it, but I just felt like I need to somehow push. And like we were talking about offline, like, I feel like this is the golden age of baby, where she's like happy and giggling all the time. And it's like,
yes.
I have a little bit more sleep in my arsenal. So
right.
Why not get back into this, and I can schedule it on my own time and all of that good stuff. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I want to take a step back, like go back in time to, like, because you were in Benin for most of your childhood, right? Before you moved here for college. So let's go back to,
yes.
Yeah, 20 years. So let's go back then and give us a sense of, like, what it was like to grow up there and what your connections to, you know, at least from what you remember. Because I think the other thing too is, in a question like this, because I found this on myself, it can be hard because it's not something I thought about when I was home, right? So when people ask me about that, I'm like, you know what, it's not something I really sat down to think about from an intellectual point of, you know what I mean? It was just your life, right? And then so someone says, oh, like, you know, tell me about food. And I remember when I came to college in the Midwest, especially, and people would ask me, and, you know, eventually over time you formulate your own responses, but it was such a weird question. Maybe not weird is the, weird is the wrong thing. It was
I get exactly what you're talking about, and I feel the same way, to be honest with you. I feel the same way. So yeah, I'm happy to tell you some of what I remember from being, back in Benin. So what I know is that I was not very involved in anything food. I love the food. I mean, I love eating, but I was not very involved in the whole, like, cooking part. And really, like, it's almost like when I was asked to do anything in the kitchen, I would start, like, frowning, like, why are you asking me to do this? Like, no. So back in Benin, we have, I don't want to say maid because I don't really like the term maid, but we had, like,
help
at home. So, and my mom was always doing the cooking. She was, I don't know why, but she always was the one doing the cooking. And then we had the help, basically helping her with things like, you know, I don't know, cutting onions and, like blending tomatoes and, you know, things like that that we do. But then as far as, like, cooking and putting everything together, that was always my mom. And then later it started being my sister. And then in between, sometimes I would pop in when asked and then, you know, do a thing or two there. So I love food, but I didn't like being in the kitchen other than just, like, conversations that happen in the kitchen and just things that you didn't want to miss, because mom being in the kitchen almost all the time, although she was a working mom, being in the kitchen, it's where we were. Like, it's where we would get together and talk about things, you know, like it's usually the place where we would all come together while snacking on this or that, you know, we would just chat. It was, that's what I remember liking as far as anything around food and being in the kitchen, not the whole like cooking experience itself.
Yeah. So then, you came here, you came to school. What then pushed you to start maybe the first platform? I forget what it was called.
Food and Travel Post.
Food and Travel Post. And then relaunching as the Black Gourmet.
Yeah, so that's a awesome question. I think I talked about it on my blog a little bit, but I don't think I've ever really talked about it out loud with someone. So I'm really excited about this question. Okay. So when I came here, one of the things that I'm not going to say hate because it's a strong word. One of the things that I did not like was the food.
Mm.
It was hard. Like, it's not like I didn't know coming here that the food was not going to be the same as what I was used to being, you know, from back home, but it was still a shock. Like, oh my God, like, what am I eating? Like, I miss the food from back home. Like, what do I do? And so coming here, I stayed in a dorm, so I didn't have a kitchen. I went to a really small school. It's in Carbondale, which is located in like Southern Illinois, and it's not a big city. So it's not like Chicago where it was diverse in terms of food. So really you only had what you had. I mean, that's it, right? And then I went to the cafeteria one day and I wore like my African wrap to go eat. And then someone stopped me. It was this girl. She stopped me. She's like, excuse me, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Benin. And then she said, toi tu es du Benin, puis tu me parles anglais, which basically in English means, so you know, with the accent, she's like, so you're from Benin and you're speaking English to me, speak French. And so I was like, oh my God, you speak French? And she's like, yes, I'm from Ivory Coast. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this is awesome. Mm. And so we chatted for a little bit. And then she told me that she's been here for a while. Her parents live in Chicago and that she wanted to take me home with her literally that weekend after we met. And that's basically how we started. I went to her house. It was my first time in weeks, if not months, eating African food. I got to the country. And it was Ivorian food. It was food from Ivory Coast that I was kind of used to because I've been to Ivory Coast.
Yeah.
But again, it was not really like, it was not Benin food, right? It was Ivorian food, which was still better than sort of what I had been eating.
Yeah.
And so that to me was sort of the beginning. I learned so much that weekend about Ivorian food. And then when I returned back to my dorms, I was like, I called my mom and I'm like, you know what? I'm taking an apartment. That's it. I am not going to stay in the dorms like one more day. Like, I am taking an apartment. So I took an apartment and then I started cooking. And I remember I would call my mom and asking her to share with me how she would cook this, how she would cook that. And so that's kind of how, like, remembering the things that I used to see from back home, calling my mom and my sister, asking them how to do this or how to do that. That's kind of how it started. And then also going to see my friend's mom in Chicago, watching her cook and being in the kitchen with her, cooking along with Farah, my friend that I talked to you earlier. And so all of that sort of made me like being in the kitchen. And then the best part is that, you know how back in college when we do little like African gatherings and you would like, cook and bring food, everyone was like amazed that you would cook something. They're like, oh, you made that? Oh my God, so good. So I kind of low-key used to like that. So I used to like cooking and I was always waiting for people to say, oh, Malik, you made that? Oh, so good. So it was all of that that really got me excited and passionate about being in the kitchen and cooking again. That's how it started.
Yeah. And then, so when you took the break, because I'm really interested in the name Black Gourmet. when you took that break, you came back and decided to rebrand, relaunch. Like, why did you decide to whatever you want to call it? And then why the Black Gourmet? Why not, like, I don't know, the African something or the Bini, whatever?
Yeah, you touch on the point there. So before, when I was posting as Food and Travel Post, mm-hmm. it was not a lot of recipes. It was not a lot of ingredients talking. Yes, there were some of it, but not a lot. The focus was just showing the food. And then I'm like, you know, like, the presence of African food on social media was not very, like, it was not out there as much. And so I really wanted to do something to change that. And then I thought, you know what? In order for people to understand the food that we eat, I think it's good to really go back and understand what are these ingredients that mm-hmm. we usually cook with. So that became something that I was, like, passionate about understanding, even myself not knowing some of it, right? Really, like, I mean, I know, for instance, you know, how to eat, I don't know, egusi, right? Yeah. But then what exactly is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really started becoming passionate about that. And so when I decided that I wanted to come back, I didn't want to focus on just recipes, because there are so many recipes.
Right.
We don't need another person coming and sharing another recipe. Yeah, I mean, it's good for people, especially when you start building your community, they want to know how you specifically make it. But I want it to be differentiated with that little added something, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think you do, even just from, like, even before reading the post, like, the aesthetic, like I was telling you offline, like, you can tell, like, if you told someone you lived in Chicago, they would be confused, because your entire profile, at least on Instagram, when you look through, especially, like, the layout, it's clearly, like, a combination of street food and, you know, food that's plated or whatever, but it really gives you the sense of what Beninese food is, and West African food in general, I feel like. And you delve deeper into the explanations of where things come from, why, versus the recipes, you're right. And so even I find it to be an education. And because I'm also from the Ewe tribe of Ghana, I feel like we have a similar language across Benin, Togo, etc. So some of the in Ghana. So some of the local names that you share, like, ring a bell to me. And so it's all interested how that is all, it's all interesting how that is all interconnected to, even with the naming and how things are prepared and stuff.
Thank you for saying that. That means a lot. So back to the Black Gourmet name now.
Yeah, right? The Black Gourmet name.
When I decided to come back, it was around the time, the George Floyd movement, and that started.
So that's recent, sort of.
Very recent. Yeah. Yeah. So I came back in 2020, literally when these events were happening. Mm-hmm. I remember being in the living room of my sister, because COVID also started, right? Yeah. So I went to live with my cousin, Fowl, in Michigan. And my cousin slash sister Fowl in Michigan. And that's where basically her also pushing me, because I was like, I want to go back. I don't know. Should I go back? Should I not? And so she was also pushing me. You can do it. You can go back. So I, sitting in her living room, I remember building, like, my sort of, like, the brand around what I was going to become. Mm-hmm. And then writing down new names, because I didn't want to come back as Food and Travel Post, because it wasn't Food and Travel. Like, I really wanted it to be Food and Culture. And so I jotted down a bunch of names. Like, I remember thinking about things like I had my name in it, because I wanted my name to be in it at the time. And then when the Black Lives Matter movement sort of blew and, like, became this big thing, I started to realize, my God, like, yes, I know Black, but I never really felt like it was something that I needed to voice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because being from Benin, like, you're not Black, you're just you. Like, it's not, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I know what you mean. That is not, Black is not an identity that I came into until, and I wouldn't even say, probably until very recently, to be honest. Like, I'll probably say in the last few years. I don't even think, like, when I moved to the US, it was still, like, the idea that I'm quote unquote Black. And that's a whole other conversation, because I feel like,
and that is actually a conversation, because that's exactly what it is. It's because until that started in 2020 with mm-hmm. George Floyd, it not really, I didn't think about the importance of, and maybe I'm not using the right words here, but I didn't think about the importance of like highlighting this Black identity, if that makes yeah. sense, right? So yeah. to me, I always, and again, this is bad, right? Like, that's how bad it was. I used to think that me being African and then other like African American, that we were not the same. It's mm-hmm. almost like if a police officer were to like arrest me, like even just from my accent, they could right. tell that yeah. I was not African American and that I was basically better off, you know what, like
it's, yeah, I think it's there's that really... sentiment. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. I think there's that sentiment across the board, like especially for when you first come, right? And it's a combination of one, and again, which is why and it's a whole lot, like it's something I really want to delve into like down the road. And especially when we start to talk about the Netflix show and what they did with Benin Food, maybe we'll come back to that. But this idea of Black, like I personally, yes, there's I think there's a global Black identity is number one. And then within that, I feel like, okay, we have the Brazilians, you know, the Caribbean, you know, the Caribbean, the continent, diaspora, there's all of these different combinations. That's beautiful. That is really beautiful and interesting. And makes us, I think, a cool collective, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that in the American context, though, it becomes a little bit more, it has to become a little bit more nuanced just by virtue of even some of the things you've mentioned here, where, and you're Francophone, so maybe you don't have this particular experience, but I remember moving here and actually in Chicago, I was on the Magnificent Mile on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. I remember when I first moved mm-hmm. to the States, I was in some store where someone, you know, some salesperson came up to me and then they're like, oh my gosh, you have an accent. And I was like, yeah. And they asked me where I was from. And I said, oh, I'm from Ghana. She's like, oh my gosh, you speak such good English. And, you know, she asked me, you know, where, you know, what I was doing or whatever. And I told her where I was going to college. And she was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so great. Like so many of the Black people here don't take advantage of blah, blah, blah. And look at you coming from, you know, far away and da, 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 oh da. And remember, this is like maybe my first week. I'm 19 or something. And I have no clue of the context or whatever, whatever. But then, like you said, it's a combination of media and how people approach us also that creates that tension, sometimes tension, but that distinction, right, between the different experiences yeah. of who we are. And yeah. I think starting from that point of like the global Black identity for me is important, because I still think the nuances should be celebrated and that we're not a monolith in terms of being Black, right? There are experiences that we will all have regardless because of what I call global Black. But then within that, you know, all of the different nuances also, I think, can be celebrated without it being like me against you sort of deal, right?
For sure.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
I felt like I needed to do something to own this like Blackness, mm-hmm. for lack of better words. And so I literally, like all the names that I was like, I was in love with, I ended up dropping them. And, you know, I thought about adding Black, like having Black in my mm-hmm. name yeah. when I come back. And so I just added gourmet because I don't know, it sounded fancy. And so, I mean, I could have been like the Benin gourmet or whatever, yeah. But it just, I felt like it was time, mm-hmm. you know, for me to just put it out there. Yes. Yeah. You know, the gourmet, that's it. Yeah. And again, like you said, and Dick, again, with the Netflix show and whatnot, we know how it's all, it's, yes, it's sort of different and separate in some way, but it's really all the same, right? Like, it's really all the same. How, like, it started in, you know, in Benin and other West African countries and then came here. So yeah. It really is bigger than what I was thinking in my head at the yeah. time. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. that's
lots. And your timing couldn't have been better, I suppose.
And, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. But yeah, you're right. Amazing.
Okay, I think this is a good time to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want us to do a couple of things. One, to just do a quick, because I feel like there's been an increased interest in Beninese food because of that Netflix show. So I want us to do a quick and dirty, like, crash course, if you will, on traditional Beninese food, and maybe touch on even what some of the distinctions between your food and other West African foods or African foods would be.
Yes.
And then sort of following on our conversation about, you know, the connection between different Black identities, especially in food, I want us to talk a little bit about some of the things that the Netflix show brought up. So around, like, who gets to tell our stories, the reimagining in some ways of traditional foods and what that means for local food cultures and blah blah blah. Okay, and blah 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 blah. I know, I just lost my train of thought. This is a new thing I've also come to accept, which I've been told is called, like, mommy brain. I have it. I've just accepted it that sometimes I lose my train of thought as I'm talking, and I'm like, it's blah blah blah.
It's a thing.
All right, we will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. There's a reason when you think of Wisconsin, you think cheese. Cheese is a huge part of Wisconsin's history and future. In Wisconsin, the state of cheese, the tradition of cheesemaking excellence began 180 years ago, before Wisconsin was recognized as a state. Immigrants traveled to settle in this lush green hills of Wisconsin, bringing their cheesemaking traditions with them. These storied skills combined with the freshest milk available created a cheesemaking culture that is uniquely Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 1,200 cheesemakers, many of whom are third and fourth generation, continue to pass on old world traditions while adopting modern innovations in cheesemaking craftsmanship. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Okay, so we're back from the break. We're now going to do a quick 2-minute course on Beninese food. So tell us, like, what are the staple foods? What do you have in terms of drinks? Do you have desserts? And of course, I'm going to point everyone to your page after the fact, because you have so much. The variety, I think your page is one of those that I see the extreme variety of our foods, because usually, you know, we talk the same old, like, jollof, fufu, blah, blah, blah. I think you do a really good job, especially with snacks. Like, sometimes you post something like, oh my God, yes. Like, you know, like, I remember that from my childhood.
Yeah,
so let's do that. Let's give everyone who's listening, especially those who may not be as familiar, maybe they're new to the podcast and haven't, and are new to West African cuisine. So let's do that.
Yeah, I feel like talking about Benin food could be a whole, like, podcast in itself. So in a couple of minutes, I would say our food is based on, like, I don't know, like, many vegetables, we have fish as well, because we're right there on the coast of on the coast. So of course, a lot of seafood. We also enjoy eating meat. So you have like lamb and beef, and there's also pork and the other meat, and then vegetables, and of course fruits. When it comes to vegetables, I want to say we eat a lot of corn, we eat a lot of cassava, we eat a lot of yam. So like we have the corn and sorghum and millet type vegetables or grains, if I can, to be more specific. And then you have the tubers, which, you know, again, yam, cassava, sweet potatoes, and whatnot. We eat a lot of sauces and stews and soups. And honestly, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what the difference is. sometimes I say sauce, sometimes I say stew, sometimes I say soup. I don't know. I don't know. I was told by a Ghanaian friend that soup is actually all watery. It's like it's very light.
That's what we
and then when you think about stew, it's more like the Nigerian type stews are like a little thicker.
Yeah.
And then sauce is just sauce. It's kind of like in between.
So yeah. So that's what I go by. that's the I would say is the true Ghanaian definition, because even when people talk about peanut sauce or peanut stew, for example, in Ghana, I mean, somebody will ping me and say that I'm wrong, but I don't remember ever having peanut stew or sauce in Ghana. Like, we do groundnut soup, right? We do soup. So we do it with, So it's only nice. when I left and, you know, I started trying to get Senegalese food and others that I found like peanut sauce, or even I would say mafé. Even before that, maybe, mafé, right? But I don't think in Ghana, at least in Southern Ghana, I should say, in my experience, that we have any such, and maybe that's why, you know, the person I interviewed a couple of days ago was annoyed by the idea of African peanut stew, because in Southern Ghana, I should say, which is what I'm more familiar with, what we have is like peanut soup, right? And it's more watery. We do it with like fufu and all of that stuff. But so your Ghanaian friend is writing that that's how a Ghanaian would interpret the difference between sauces, and like we would say contemporary is a stew. We have very distinct like stews versus soups. I don't know that we would have a thing called sauce in our, would we? Let me not distract the conversation.
Would shito not consider like
I suppose like a condiment? So it's, shito would be a sauce. Yeah. I suppose. Yeah. Okay, you're right.
you know, and me being, because in Benin we speak French, right? And so I started speaking English when I moved here in the US, and so really also learning some of the terms in order for my audience to understand what I mean has not been understood, because I'm like, this is, I know how to say it in French, but what is the right word in English? So I'm having to rely on terms that are used in Ghana and Nigeria to say this, and then I realized, oh my God, no, it is the same thing, but it's not really the same thing.
Wow. That's so interesting to me. Yeah. And kudos to you, man. I like appreciate all the Francophone people who do work in English, because we don't do the same justice to French that we should. We learn French in school because it's required, but I don't think outside of that, not a lot of people, unless they go into it in some professional sense, right? Like they go to the dip, you know, they work in foreign offices or whatever. They don't take it as seriously. So kudos to you too. All right. So then let's talk about snacks. Like what are the types of snacks? Cause I feel like you have a lot of that on your page.
So snacks. So you have snacks that are basically, so for instance, I would consider peanut a snack, roasted peanut, to be more considered that to be a snack, which is a very popular snack in Benin. But then I also have in mind things like achomo.
Yes,
which is made with, at least the way I know it to be made, because I'm sure there are many versions of it. It's kind of like the chin-chin in Nigeria, but although it's not made the same way. So it's with all-purpose flour,
mm-hmm.
and then condensed milk and sugar. I think those are the main ingredients. It's really sweet. I love that. And then you have another milk-based snack, which is that even a snack? It's toffee. It's like a candy. I guess you could call it snack if you wanted to. And then you have nougat, which nougat is almost similar to toffee, but not really, because it does involve some peanut in it. It does have peanut in it. And what other snack comes to mind? We have so many.
Yeah, snacks. I will, based on the ones you've mentioned, maybe what I'll do is I'll get pictures of them. So when the episode comes out, I'll share them so that people can see the examples of what you're mentioning. Because achomo sounds like something we have in Ghana as well as the candy also. Yeah. We call it achomo too, actually. So.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I never knew that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, in that even in the local terms, when I come across them on your page, I'm like, oh, this sounds, you know, sounds like the same thing. Sounds like the same thing.
So, and then we have kuli kuli too, which is a snack. Kuli kuli is like, it's also peanut based. It's like I don't know how to describe it. It's a peanut based snack. It's like a biscuit.
Is it like a brittle? Like it's made with peanuts and sugar, and it's ends up like hard.
It's super hard. Yeah. It's not. No, that's nougat.
I see. Okay.
Kuli kuli is more so, like in Benin, we love to eat it with gari, like soaking gari.
And
then it comes in like different shapes depending on what part of the Benin you're from. So, like if you're from northern Benin, it's a certain shape. If you're from southern Benin, it's a certain shape.
I need to look this up after the fact, and we'll share pictures so people can visualize as they.
Yes. If you have this, you can, oh my god, you're telling me that I need to go make a whole series on
Yeah, because I'm like, wait, that sounds, and maybe when I see pictures or videos of it, I'll be like, oh, I know that, and it's like, you know what? I would not even be surprised at all. So then let's like switch gears and talk about that a little bit about the Netflix show. So I remember sitting back and I was totally shocked when I saw that they were in Benin for the first episode, because I'd follow, you know, Dr. Harris, and I knew that this thing was coming out, and I was like, oh, and I guess I had seen pictures of them in the market, but I didn't think like it was going to be the focus of like one full episode, right?
Yeah.
And so one, I was excited to see it featured. And we're just generally excited to see, finally, because I don't even know if there's any other show on Netflix, someone can quote me, that is focused on like, I take that back. I've seen other, but those were profiles on specific chefs. So I don't think I've seen a show that's focused on the story of our food, right? And so this was exciting to see.
Absolutely.
And I was also happy that they went to Benin, because I feel like usually also when people go to West Africa, they go to
Ghana. My goodness. I was like, no offense. I mean, I love my Ghanaian. But I was like, wait a second, please. Yes. Finally, somebody.
So on this one, I'm with you on this. I was excited that they went somewhere else, because one, it was an education for me, but two, also happy that it was also a Francophone country, because then I feel like, okay, we are pushing the envelope in terms of what we can do, and not letting language be a barrier to what we can learn, right, from other places.
Yes,
I was really excited about that. But then the entire show, like, let me put this caveat again before I get messages.
I know where you're headed, and I feel the exact same way, but go ahead, I know exactly what you're going to say.
I love the show. I love that it started in Benin, but I also love that it went through different aspects of different spaces, different areas in the U.S. through the connection between between the African food and African-American food, and then also just telling the story of African-American food's contribution to the American food landscape. All of it was great. Caveat, absolutely love the show. If they would do it again in the same way, I wouldn't have too many problems with it.
Yes.
For me, there's a couple of things that came up for me. I think that there could have been more around the African piece, right? I feel like, they announced they're coming up with a second season, although I did see some comments about Brazil. So they may be going to do a Brazil connection. I don't know. But I feel like this idea of global Black and like the different nuances of identity, like who gets to tell whose stories, right? And I understand the viewpoint that this is coming from, but I wish that there was more context, right, from different places. And I don't know if production, you know, they had only so much and they needed to show that this, again, it's one of those things, right? You don't know what's happening in the background. They needed to show that this would be a success before they could do more. So I was like, okay, I guess. and you know what? I will leave it there. That was one of the things that I wish there was more of in terms of that context. What was your take?
So I think I agree with exactly everything that you said. It was really awesome. The fact that Benin was out there. I mean, I felt like I was drooling in front of my the whole time. And then highlight really for me was when she said that yam is not sweet potato.
Oh my gosh, the same thing. I was like, preach. Oh my God, I was like, finally, this whole thing of yam and sweet potatoes, like, let's stop it now. Let's end it today. If you're listening and you didn't watch the Netflix show and you don't want to, you don't have to go. We're telling you on this show. Yams are not sweet potatoes. Yams are completely different from sweet potatoes. Absolutely. And I was like, praise the Lord Jesus.
I know.
This is being said on a big platform. And yeah, that was my big one of my big yes, waving the flag.
Yeah. So that was a big aha moment for me. I was like, oh my God, yes, somebody. That was super awesome. And the fact that they really showed Benin, they didn't just stop at just like going to restaurants, but they showed a little more outside of that. So I really, really enjoyed that. Although I feel like, and this is not specifically just this show, although that's what we're talking about here, but I feel like sometimes the story isn't told completely. It's almost like you say part of the story, you don't say everything. And so while some people know that there's more to it, other people just see it and literally they're stuck with that. That's all they know, that's all they see, and that's exactly what it is, right? Because I've had people messaging me and telling me about things like voodoo, and I'm like, people, like, Benin is not just like that. That is not like, you can't just like, the first thing that comes to mind when you say Benin is
right.
Voodoo.
Yeah,
it is part of it, yes, because you know we do like parts of Benin really hung on to this traditional and like ancestral and, you know, like way back when ways of doing things. And again, it's not, I'm gonna say that because I don't want to go too deep dive into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much that could be unpacked from it, right? Because for me, I was also, I feel like separately, if Netflix sees the value in this, like separately, there could be 1, 2, 3, 4 different shows on African food alone. Like so many different, because when you think about all the food shows that are out there, like, and compared to the size of the continent, the variety, diversity of the food we have, in addition to the culture that's tied to it, I just think there's so much opportunity for storytelling here. And hopefully, with the success of this show, like someone sees that as a potential avenue to do more and to tell that story. Because
I really hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I really hope so. I mean, all in all, while I really loved, you know, the show and the highlight, you know, especially in Benin, I was hoping, I wasn't satisfied. Like,
I came away with the same feeling.
It wasn't enough. Yeah. I was hoping for, like, to get more, like, nuanced, like, stories, dishes in Benin, I guess, because that's where it was filmed. But also like more details on the history of these dishes, you know, like with the whole them going to like the door of like no return and you know that area, like it's packed with so much history. But I felt like we didn't really spend time talking about it and how like some of the food, you know, coming from like Brazil and with the Portuguese, I felt like there was so much that I knew myself.
That
was highlighted. It's good, but it's not the whole. It's not enough.
We need to come
back into something.
Yeah, and I think that for me was a takeaway because I actually thought there was gonna be a second part in Benin.
Me too. I was like,
when the second episode rolled out, I was like, oh wait,
me too. I was so excited for the second episode, and I'm like, oh, I guess we're in the US now.
And I even thought, and I think a little part of me as I was going through it, I was like, oh, okay, maybe they'll round back to Benin and tie the whole story together somehow. And it was like, okay, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are gonna hate me for saying this, which is fine because I'm all for speaking, you know, my mind, but I felt like if, you know, given the story and how the whole show was designed, the fact that they spent a lot of time, you know, in places and restaurants where people were like modernizing our food, I didn't really appreciate that part. I mean, it's good, but then I'm like, you see, like, it's almost like they were like Eba, like you see Eba and you're like, what? Like, huh? Oh, you see, like Amiwo, right? Which is like, and it's like people eating with like a fork. I just wish that was more. I mean, it's done. Like, I've eaten fufu or whatever with a fork before. That's fine. But I feel like to show the culture, the stories, and all of that.
Yeah,
I would have loved a little more of the actual.
Yeah, so I think to balance out the story for them, I think that they attempted to do that with that one meal they had with, I think it was, who was that? Karen. Was this Karen the blogger that went with them to a small town in Benin somewhere where they had this meal where they had like something that looked like kinky to me, actually. And they had someone explaining, an older guy who was talking about how we're actually losing the traditional.
Yes.
Foods. Yeah. Yes. I think that was the attempt to be like, okay, we take this box, essentially. So, I mean, I think we're on the same page, and not just you, like there's a lot of people I've talked to offline, because, you know, when this came out, there's a lot of conversations I've had offline about this, that in that it's a great start to exposing people to our foods, but we need more depth. And to me, part of it is, again, like who gets to tell the nuanced part of those stories, you know, those Black food stories. It's my personal take. Cool. We're running out of time. So I wanted to very quickly, if one, let us know, like, what's next for you? Like, what are you thinking about in terms of building out the platform? What do you want to do next that's cool or interesting that, or you think people should be aware of that's coming down the line? And then let people know where they can find you online. So what's your social media handle, web, you know, blog, website, whatever?
Yeah, so I have a lot in mind, to be honest.
Okay.
I have so much in mind that it's not even letting me focus on one thing. Mm. It's almost like I have my hands in so many different things. And really, when I was home recently and I thought to myself, you know, it's time to really take a step back and start to focus on some of the things that I really am looking to do and really see it from beginning to end before moving on to the next thing, because picking and choosing, you know, is not like, not okay, not picking and choosing, but doing different things at the same time is not gonna help. So I do have quite a few things that I would like to do, although I'm still really passionate about my work. So that is still again, that is what allows me to pay my rent, to pay my food, to pay for my travel, you know, my travel home. So it's still number one. Like, I would always do my work
and
first.
It really sounds like a cool job too. So
it is awesome. And you know, people have asked me, so are you gonna just not work anymore and just be a blogger full time? I'm like, honestly, I admire people who do that, but I am not built for that. I love relying on my bi-weekly paycheck.
Yeah.
I'm not like that. So I guess for me, I really would like to be like an entrepreneur. Is like, it sounds really fancy to me, but I have, you know what, I want to say, but I also don't want to say because I don't want to disappoint people, because I may not be able to,
you know,
I may not have time to do it.
So what I will say is, you don't have to share if you.
Yeah, no,
I was getting there.
Okay. I think for me really is to continue to show Benin food, but that West African food in general, because we share so much across all these countries, right? That is my mission and that is what I'm hoping to do, whether that be on Instagram, which I love doing it on Instagram, or other ways, like that is what I'm doing. And I will not stop until it's really out there. So that is me in a nutshell.
Okay.
And where I'm going in a nutshell. So yeah.
And then where people can find you online? So handles.
Yeah. Online, I'm at The Black Gourmet. It's The Black Gourmet. It's a V instead of an A. And that was just for design reason. There's nothing, you know, special day. And then I'm also on my blog at theblackgourmet.com, and I'm not so present on the other social media platforms.
Okay. Instagram and blog and works. Blog.
Yeah.
Cool. And I will share the links so people will be able to get to it.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah. So we'll wrap up with a quick rapid fire questions. We'll wrap up with a quick rapid fire question. So the first one is coffee or tea?
Tea all day.
Okay. Dine in or take out? I should say in a pre-COVID world.
Honestly, I would say take out.
Okay. And then sweet or salty?
Oh, sweet.
After talking about all this sweet snacks, yeah. And then because we talked about a Netflix show, what's your favorite? What are you watching on Netflix now that's interesting? It doesn't have to be related to food.
What am I watching? So I watched The King of Boys like recently, which was it was okay. I really liked the movie. I'm watching the series now, right? Part two with like the
part two just came out, right? Like yesterday, yeah.
It just came back on the 27th, so 2 days ago. And I don't like it as much.
Okay.
I think it's dragging too much. Mm. I feel like they would have just done a second movie and that would have been that. It would have been good. But yeah, that's what I'm watching currently. Although I have a lot of shows that I watch. Like I'm always watching a show. Yeah,
cool. All right. Well, that was my last question for you. Thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoy talking to you, getting into Beninese food. Now I'm really going to Google some of these snacks that you shared. And then it's always, again, I think I said it early on, but it's always so interesting to me when I talk to people who came here from home around the same age, you know, 18, 19, how similar a lot of our experiences are, especially around food.
Good stuff. I mean, it was so much fun talking to you. Like I've been following you for a while now. And I think actually Essence 13 is you too, right?
Yeah.
I think I've been following that page for a really, really long time, before I got pregnant. I'm definitely a fan of you, and so when you reached out to me I was like, oh my god, she reached out to me. So thank you for thinking about me and for helping me.
I love the work that you do, and I'm always wanting to showcase people who are putting in the work for sure. So
I appreciate that and the time. It was so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Item 13, an African food podcast. If you like the show, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app. To keep up to date, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Item 13 Podcast. Item 13 is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a non-profit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.